Every night and every day, every night and every day, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah.
IRIB English Radio, a herald of unity and solidarity amongst Islamic denominations.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. Welcome to another episode of the program Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. I am Atta, the host of this program. Our special guest speaker for today's discussion from the Islamic House of Qom is Brother Suhail. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Suhail. Welcome to the show.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
Okay, Brother Suhail, fasting in the holy month of Ramadan has so many positive effects, some of which you have enumerated for us in our previous discussions. For example, the people can understand the conditions and the situations of the poor. This is very important, to have a picture how the poor live, you know, in a society, the destitute, the homeless people, the foodless people live in a society, because during the day you have to be hungry. So when the hunger and thirst comes to you, so you understand what is the hungry like, what is hunger like, what is thirst like. These are about the, we can say, the physical effects of the holy month of Ramadan. But on the other side, some people say that through fasting, you can understand your situation on the day of Qiyamah, the day of resurrection, or the day of judgment. So how these two, I mean, fasting and Ramadan, the day of Qiyamah, link together?
So when they say that while fasting, you come to realize the conditions in the day of Qiyamah is related to hunger and thirst.
Yes.
Of which on the day of Qiyamah, when they will be doing this judgment, and you will be in this state of hunger and thirst. And this is when you realize that this world is a blessing for us to prepare ourselves for the day of Qiyamah. For we have some traditions that state in the hereafter, there will be 50 stations. Mm-hmm. Each station lasts 1,000 years. The first station is getting out of the grave. People will be confined in it for 1,000 years barefoot, hungry, and thirsty. Whoever comes out of his grave believing in Allah, in paradise and hell, in the accounting and the judgment, admitting Allah as the Lord, believing in his Prophet, yes, and in what Allah Almighty had revealed to him, will be saved from hunger, mm-hmm, and thirst.
Okay.
So this, if you see this tradition itself, it says that the hunger or thirst that is going to be there, it's going to be for those who are against these beliefs.
Yes.
Those who did not believe in this, okay, in spite of being a Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
And this is going to be your condition in the day of judgment. Now, one might say that, okay, fasting is not difficult because we've been fasting for years. So the day of Qiyamah, why is it going to be difficult? As I said here, that each station lasts 1,000 years. In the month of Ramadan, when we fast, we actually know that we are going to break our fast at sun dawn, when the sun, okay, gets down.
Yes.
Iftar time.
Ghurub. Yes, yes.
But when in the day of Qiyamah, there is no ghurub, it's your actions.
Mm-hmm.
So your sins will decide your iftar.
Mm-hmm.
So the trouble or the discomfort that you feel in the month of Ramadan, of which we have this iftar time, then after the period of Ramadan has finished, which is the 30-day span, we get Eid to celebrate,
yes,
our burning of our sins,
yes,
and everything. In Qiyamah, there is not no such sort like that.
Mm-hmm.
In Qiyamah, we have no days. Yes. All of these stations are actually based on our actions and sins that we have committed over here.
According to what Urafa and some Islamic mystics say, you know, timing 24 hours, day and night are limited to this world.
Yes.
Because of the sun and the earth, okay, and the orbit around. But the case is that on the day of Qiyamah, these concepts have no meaning. I mean, true. For example, 24 hours, day and nights, and all you see is the effects of your good deeds and the bad deeds.
The bad deeds, okay. Very true. Yeah. But at the same time, we need to understand that if this is true, what you are saying, that the time is limited in this material world. Mm-hmm. Once we leave, we are in a different atmosphere. But still, the hadith says 1,000 years. It might not be that 1,000 years, but if you want to think, there are only two options. Either to take it as a literal meaning, 1,000 years, or we take another meaning that actually we don't know the limitation of it. It might be more than the 1,000 years or less than the 1,000 years. But because our mind can perceive the 1,000 years, it's just to make us understand of how long it's going to be. In other words, you can say very long. For example, when we say that normally when parents ask their child or the child asks their parents, how much do you love me? They say, yek jahan. Mm-hmm. One world.
Yes.
It's a notation of saying very much.
Very much, yes.
Here, 1,000 might mean the literal 1,000 years, or it might mean very much. Mm-hmm. You see, in that sense. So if you take 1,000 years as literal, nobody has lived for 1,000 years to know how it means. But if a person just thinks about me, it's very much. So I'm hungry, thirsty, barefoot. Years, I don't know how long. Mm-hmm. Very long. But in this world, for fasting, I know that I have to fast for maximum, according to some parts of the countries, 20 hours, 22 hours. Minimum, maybe around 8, 10 hours. You see? So that all depends on how you perceive this. In short, it's like telling you that prepare yourself for Qiyamah. You see? Better yourself. For once you are there, there is no coming back. That time it's only viewing the books. And one of the bad parts in Qiyamah, it's not that your sins. Whenever we sin, may God forbid us to sin. Whenever we sin, one of the things that we like keeping in mind in normal psychology is that nobody should know our sin. Mm-hmm. And because Allah is merciful and is haq, we pray to Him, Allah, don't show my sins to others.
Okay.
Right? But when we die, normally we have traditions that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Bibi Fatima Zahra sallallahu alaihi and other traditions do come and view that. And now guess that the Holy Prophet is there. He's looking at your sins. Mm-hmm. You would say that, I wish I die. I don't want to see the embarrassment of how the Prophet feels because of my sins. Because we accept the Holy Prophet to hold our hands and take us to heaven. So he has to have something on our behalf. But when we sin and then afterwards the Prophet is looking at our sins, he becomes sharmande, very much
embarrassed. Yes.
He becomes embarrassed that now what should I tell my Lord to take him to heaven? You see, this is just a concept to ponder upon. It might not have actual basis or it might have actual basis. But when this is a psychology of a sinner who also maybe even repents. But we don't want anyone to know our sin. If we sin, we want to repent before someone knows. And when someone else, before someone knows. And when we see that at that station, the Holy Prophet is actually looking at our deeds, we feel very much embarrassed. Mm-hmm. Like we cannot take it into our heart that the best of mankind is looking at the worst of my sins. Mm-hmm.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs on IRIB English Radio. You can send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir.
The holy month of Ramadan is the best chance for tawbah,
yeah,
repentance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the real tawbah, you know, usually the people do repentance. They we can say, that's right. Okay, they are forgiven. Then, for example, after a day or two, they get back to the same track. They forget. This sense of forgetfulness in the human being. Yeah.
Yeah. May Allah help us all that when we finish the month of Ramadan, let us not keep the recitation of Quran only in the month of Ramadan. Yes. We should have one of the reasons that we fall into desperation and problems in our lives is not having a correct timetable for our tasks. There's one research that was recently made that when you ask a person that, can you do this work for me? A lot of people will say that I don't have time. But when he starts bringing out a paper and writing his proper timetable, you will see he has a lot of time. But because he doesn't have a proper based timetable, everything that you ask him is not possible. So having a proper timetable before the month of Ramadan, in the month of Ramadan, and after the month of Ramadan is one of the keys to make you sure that you will not fall astray back. Because once the chains of shaitan are unlocked, now that you have to understand from previous experiences, that when I was in locked in his, the whispers would come, even at the time of prayer. Shaitan doesn't leave anyone.
Yes.
He will follow in your best performances. So, for example, if you are an abid, a person who does ibadah full-time, he will come in your ibadah.
Yes.
But a person who is drinking alcohol, he doesn't have to go and tell him because he's already on the path.
Okay.
You see, shaitan will follow in places that you won't even think.
Yes.
Don't think by praying, you are done. Even if you are praying, he will come and tell you, look, you are praying, for longer. You are praying much better than others. That kind of egoisticness that he puts in your heart.
Sense of proudness and selfishness.
That sense of pride, you think, no, shaitan doesn't have anything to do with this. You see? But it's not. Because you are praying and your mind is not away from prayer, he will try and distract you in your prayer. So we need to be careful of his whispers right now month of Sha'ban. So that when we are in the month of Ramadan, we just have to unchain ourselves and gain the most of that holy month of Ramadan. And always have tawajjuh.
Attention.
Attention. Always have attention in your acts, whether you're fasting and you're praying and stuff. If you have your attention that whom you are doing this act for, believe me, you will see the changes within yourselves. You don't even have to mention it to others.
Okay.
You yourself can reach perfect stations in the month of Ramadan if you believe in yourself and if you believe in your actions for whom you are doing it for.
Okay. This year, the holy month of Ramadan in Islamic Republic of Iran is coincident with the season of spring and Nowruz, okay? So it's the best, it's a good chance, you know, for Iranians and the Persians to start a new year with the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this month. And you know, Nowruz means new day. It's a kind of celebration, okay? So celebration of the Persian calendar comes with the celebration of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
This so you have Hafsin and you have Feast of Allah
same time. At the same time, that's right. Okay, for our dear listeners, Hafsin means those seven symbols starting with the letter Sin, okay, in Persian language. It's a complicated matter to explain in English language because it's rooted in Farsi. But for example, like Sabze, Somok, Seke, okay, these are the things that are put as a symbol of, we can say, the start of the new year of the Persians.
New year celebration.
Yeah, our celebration, that's right. But the season of spring is over there, you know. The spring of soul now is coming to you. This is a good way, I think.
Yeah, they are saying that Ramadan is a new year of spirituality. It's a spring of the months.
Yes.
Mahe Ramadan is the spring of the months coming together with spring of Nowruz.
Of Nowruz.
And take the most benefit of it.
Take the most benefit of it. This is important.
A new year that starts with the blessing of Allah.
Yes.
It's unimaginable to see like where it will take you. Yeah.
Very good.
Your imaginations are your limitations.
That's all right. Yeah. Okay, thank you very much, Brother Sohail, for a nice elaboration regarding this topic. It was very kind of you. We hope that we, before getting into the month of Ramadan, the holy month of Shaban, we make the most of it. And in the month of Ramadan, now we are to have fasting with good qualities, inshallah, to cleanse our bad deeds on the day of Qiyamah and the day of judgment.
Inshallah.
Yes, inshallah. Thank you much, Brother Suhail.
Thank you, very kind much.
Of you. Thank you much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program, Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. Till another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
Inna fil jannati nahran min laban li Ali wa Husayn wa Hasan. Li Ali wa Husayn wa Hasan. إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن علي
What happened in series?
Part 3.
Nine years is not a short period. It's similar to the period of a child who was born and is now a couple of years into school, or a teenager who is now admitted to university, or a student who has graduated, is married, and is now likely expecting his first child. And so that's the way I prefer to look at the passing of 9 years. But in Syria, I couldn't look the way I wanted to at the passing of 9 years, as I passed the streets, alleyways, and buildings. I could only keep myself composed to some extent, as opposed to many others who were in shock and awe when they encountered these scenes. Especially when I saw all of those factories and workshops that used to be full of workers, engineers, and technicians 9 years ago. People who are no longer in their workplaces. Many people who are no longer with us. There's not enough space in the ground to hide their bodies. Sometimes a park in the street becomes their burial place. I felt that in Syria, I didn't have the right to speak of anything other than the war for the past 9 years. However, I decided to at least look for answers to why all of this happened in Syria. Why Syria? In the United States, people are not very political, Therefore, it really doesn't matter to them what happens in the rest of the world.
CBS News came to this place called Attaf with General Frank McKenzie, commander of U.S. forces in the Middle East.
David, we're standing on the Damascus-Baghdad highway, just inside Syria, and what we're doing here is supporting our partners in the fight against ISIS.
However, not all the people here are American. Some members of Syria's opposition visit the TANF base regularly. Apart from their looks and uniforms, they can be recognized by their Arabic language and their Toyota vans. It appears they are opposed to the Syrian government and have come together to fight the Syrian army. But it appears that their main mission after protecting the American base is controlling the roads that pass through TANF. Of course, the Chinese, in cooperation with many other Asian countries, like Iran, intend to revive the Silk Road. This is a decision which is not secret, as they have talked about it openly on many occasions. Till then, the road linking Baghdad to Damascus, and from there to the Mediterranean coast, is still considered as the Silk Road. Wesley Clark is not the only person who believes the war in Syria was planned long before it started. Many others, like Robert F. Kennedy Jr., also share this belief. He is the nephew of the former President of the United States. Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who is both a lawyer and author, published an article in 2016 in Politico magazine entitled "Why Arabs Don't Want Us in Syria." The article stunned many. He writes, "In their view, our war against Bashar Assad did not begin with the peaceful civil protests of the Arab Spring in 2011. In their view, our war against Bashar Assad did not begin with the peaceful civil protests of the Arab Spring in 2011. Instead, it began in 2000, when Qatar proposed to construct a $10 billion, 1,500-kilometer pipeline through Saudi Arabia, Jordan, Syria, and Turkey. To see whether Kennedy's claims are true or false, we go back to the year 2000. As you are aware, Russia is the biggest producer and exporter of natural gas, with Europe being its biggest customer. The Russians export 70% of their produced natural gas to Europe. The US is highly motivated as it tries to find an alternative to Russia's gas. As a result, they have turned to Qatar and Azerbaijan for gas. But the fact is that Europe's demand for gas could not be met via sea only, and that such a huge supply could only be sent to the continent through a pipeline. This was where the notion of the Qatari gas pipeline was put forth. That's the same energy transit route that would pass through Saudi Arabia, Jordan, and Syria, and then reach Europe via Turkish terminals. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. writes, "In Putin's view, the Qatar pipeline is a NATO plot to change the status quo, deprive Russia of its only foothold in the Middle East, strangle the Russian economy, and end Russian leverage in the European energy market." This plan faced a big obstacle, the Syrian government. Elsewhere in his article, Kennedy writes, "In 2009, Syrians announced that they would refuse to sign the agreement to allow the pipeline to run through Syria to protect the interests of their Russian allies. They also announced commissioning of Russian-approved Islamic pipeline with cooperation from Iran and Iraq. This Islamic pipeline would transport Iran's gas to the Mediterranean through Iraq and Syria, with its final destination being West and Southwestern Europe. The project would become a huge source of revenue for Syria and Iraq, as well as Iran." As a result, all the three countries insisted on its execution. Now, there were problems. On the one hand, Qatar's gas could not be transferred via Syria. On the other hand, Iran would gain a foothold in the European energy market. That's why they decided to remove the problem, namely the Syrian government.
This morning, President Obama called on Assad to step aside and announced the strongest set of sanctions to date targeting the Syrian government. These sanctions include the energy sector to increase pressure on the regime. The transition to democracy in Syria has begun, and it's time for Assad to get out of the way. As President Obama said this morning, no outside power can or should impose on this transition.
Cables released by the whistleblower organization WikiLeaks show that the Israeli, Saudi, and U.S. intelligence agencies started to give financial and intelligence assistance to the groups seeking to topple the Syrian government. This dates back to 2 years before the onset of protests in Syria. Regardless of the WikiLeaks cables, the most optimistic interpretation is that the 2011 protests over economic and political problems in Syria provided an opportunity to implement the Qatar gas pipeline to the Mediterranean by toppling the Assad government. Thus, the protests in Syria soon turned into a full-blown armed conflict, unlike Bahrain and Tunisia, where demonstrations remained peaceful.
The Gate of Knowledge. Exegesis and interpretations of the supremely eloquent sermons, letters, and sayings of the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him.
You're listening to the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Mukhtar, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ahli baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin. Dear listeners to IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I welcome you all to this episode of The Gate of Knowledge. I welcome you all to this episode of The Gate of Knowledge, where we are discussing about the sermon number 76 of Nahjul Balagha. And in this sermon, Imam Ali alayhi salam talks about the importance of good actions, the importance of listening carefully, the importance of many other practical issues that are important for a Muslim to be careful about. It's a very good sermon, very short and but very much in depth, inshallah. And I also would like to express my congratulations and express my welcoming to you as we approach the holy month of Ramadan. These are the final days of Sha'ban, And we are slowly approaching the month of the holy month of Ramadan. The holy month of Sha'ban also is full of blessings, is full of mercy, it's full of prophetic states, prophetic mercies that can affect us, prophetic blessings. But of course, now as we approach the month of Ramadan, we ask Allah to forgive us, so that when we enter the month of Ramadan, we enter with a lot of purity. And inshallah, these discussions that we are going to have will be geared towards trying to understand our duties in a general sense, at least, especially in the holy month of Ramadan.
You are listening to the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio, a program that presents a detailed commentary of Peak of Eloquence from the Master of the Faithful, Imam Ali, peace be upon him.
Now, the sermon number 76 that Imam Ali alayhi salam has been reported to have mentioned in Nahjul Balagha starts off like this. It says, رحم الله امرأ سمع حكما فوعى. It's talking about the fact that that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mercy on certain individuals. One of them is a person who hears a beautiful statement or a statement of wisdom, a statement of firmness and wisdom, and then he pays in-depth attention to it, fawa'a. And then he talks about other things also. For example, he says, وَدُعِيَ إِلَىٰ رَشَادٍ فَدَنَا, and that he is called towards the truth, and he humbles himself towards it. He doesn't become proud and go away from it. And then he goes on to express different attributes of this type of person who becomes deserving of God's mercy. So what we are going to do, inshallah, slowly and gradually, is that we're going to first understand what it means when we say that Allah has mercy on someone. And what does the mercy of Allah mean? Especially because in these months of Rajab, Sha'ban and Mahir Ramadan, especially the month of Ramadan, we are really, really seeking God's mercy. So we need to understand what this mercy is, and then slowly and gradually understand how this mercy can be earned from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that, inshallah, Allah gives us a good position in paradise next to Him. So, he starts off with a dua saying, Rahim Allah. May Allah have mercy on this particular person who has, for example, attributes number 1, number 2, number 3, number 4, number 5. He mentions all these different attributes of a person who deserves the mercy of God. So, if I just quickly go through what he says, is that the first one I already mentioned is a person who really pays attention to words of wisdom and tries to listen to them carefully. That was the first thing that we mentioned.
IRIB English Radio presents a detailed commentary of the Peak of Eloquence from the Master of the Faithful, Imam Ali, peace be upon him, on the program Gate of Knowledge.
Now, the second thing that Imam Ali alayhi salam mentions, he says, وَدُعِيَ إِلَىٰ رَشَادٍ فَدَنَا, and may Allah have mercy on that person who, when he hears words, or he's called towards guidance, towards spiritual growth, that person, he humbles himself, he accepts it, he doesn't become proud and leave it. And then he says, وَأَخَذَ بِحُجْزَتِ هَادٍ فَنَجَى. And he gets hold of that person, rather he pleads to get hold of that person who is trying to guide him, so that he becomes saved. So he doesn't leave the hand of the one who guides him. He gets hold of his hand and he says, please take me to my destination, and becomes successful because of that. Then he says, رَاقَبَ رَبَّهُ وَخَافَ ذَنْبَهُ رَاقَبَ رَبَّهُ وَخَافَ ذَنْبَهُ رَاقَبَ رَبَّهُ means that he is careful about the duties of his Lord, about everything to do with his Lord. رَاقَبَ رَبَّهُ. He makes sure that whatever he does, whatever he thinks, whatever he feels, whatever he, for example, has in his heart, is in accordance to what his Lord has told him. وَخَافَ ذَنْبَهُ. And he is fearful of his sins. قَدَّمَ خَالِصًا وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا. Is that he treads, when he goes ahead with sincerity. وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا. And he performs deeds in a good way, in the most beautiful way, in the best way, in the most balanced way. اِكْتَسَبَ مَذْخُورًا وَاجْتَنَبَ مَحْذُورًا. This person also, he is such that he earns that which is going to be saved for him for the hereafter. اِكْتَسَبَ مَذْخُورًا وَاجْتَنَبَ مَحْذُورًا. And he stays away from those actions that are sins, those that will make him not be able to go ahead in the hereafter. So you notice that this beautiful sermon, how it is preparing someone to perform good deeds and to be sincere, and of course to do all those things that will earn him the mercy of Allah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Sheikh Mukhtar, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Rome, on the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio.
قال النبي محمد من كنت مولاه هذا علي سيد فاز من ولاه هو بالكتاب مسدد والنور معناه باب العلوم ومرشد هو آيات الله من ناداه أو لبه حين دعاه نال منه هو في الشدائد منجد والفضل يمناه هو في المحاسن أحمد والوحي رباه.
Everyone has a beloved, a new dear friend. But I have you, my dear. May God protect you, my dear. May God protect you.
IRIB English Radio, for those who seek the truth.
Start.
Movement.
Speed.
Live in hope.
Toward the peak.
On Youth Station.
I am a Muslim. Islam ID. Allah my Lord.
Muhammad,
praise be upon I am Muslim for all of time.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners. This is IRIB English Radio, and you are listening to Youth Station. I am Peter,
And I'm Asma at your service.
So, in today's episode, we're here again at your service. And a beautiful topic, but I think this is a kind of common experience that we went through, we all, especially our precious listeners like us, went through this experience of having a friend which mm-hmm. you really care about. But, you know, he or she does something that bothers you. Kind of like bad behavior, bad habits, and so on.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
What is your reaction? Do you do anything special or no, you're somehow ignorant?
Well, it depends.
What do you mean it depends?
It depends on the person I have in front of me, you know? At the very first point, I would say, of course, the bad features they have are not going to be that bad because if it was that bad, I would have never befriended them. This is the very first point.
Yeah, nice.
Now,
but I'm not like that.
So you befriend bad people?
No, I don't befriend bad people. Bad people befriend.
Oh my God! So you mean you attract awkward people?
I don't know why.
That's nice. That happens.
I'm magnetic.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, when that happens, I look at them. I see if there is any capacity of change in them or not.
Mm-hmm.
Because in some situations, I see there's no hope in shaking sense into their head. Uh-huh. And then I just leave them, honestly. Because, you know, trying to change your friend does not mean that you have degrade yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You don't have to bring or drag yourself down into the level of a tiny creature with no personality and characteristic just because you want your friend to be a perfect creature.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So this is the first point.
So to add something to your first point, I have to tell you that I don't believe in changing people. The thing is, I'm not telling you that we have to be ignorant towards all the people, all the behavior and so on. But it's not like you can change other people unless mm-hmm. they want to be changed. I believe in that because I saw it. I believe that we have our impact and effect on other people. You know, I had the same experience. One of my friends, unfortunately, was smoking. And I was like, no, you shouldn't. It's so destructive for your health and so on. I couldn't make any change, actually. And I actually cut this friendship.
Oh.
Because she was like, who cares? This is my life. This is my kidney. This is my body. Well, this is my liver.
See, this is why you cannot talk to all of the people in order to make them change.
And it was like, okay, I don't care about what you are telling about me. If you don't like the way I am, go away. And I was like, seriously.
So maybe the perspective of people are different from different parts of the world.
Yeah, they
maybe
are.
Maybe a person living in America or I don't know, Australia or maybe Europe, whatever.
Yeah.
Different parts of the world would have different sort of borderlines, you know?
I know.
Maybe to us, smoking is something very, you know.
No, it's not like it is something really
I know,
strange,
it was an example.
But it's not a, you know, good thing for your health.
Of course,
and you know that. So why
at
don't
this
you quit
age,
it?
At this very young age, like being 18 years old, this is something really sad. But, you
this
know,
is a disaster.
There are some factors we should actually take into consideration
so,
as well.
So, keep your factors. Let's go for a short break then. We're going to discuss these factors.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
There are different factors. By the way, welcome. This is Youth Station, guys. We're talking about how to change our friends.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you're having a friend who's got some bad habits.
I appreciate your passion to go on with your conversation.
Okay. If you're having a friend with bad habits, then what are you going to do with them? And I was saying that people have got different lifestyles. They have different backgrounds. I cannot judge a person by their actions, you know what I mean? I mean, like, if your friend is smoking, maybe she's got bad experiences in her life. Maybe she's got a very destructive family. Maybe there are so much of problems in her home. So me coming to her and telling her, okay, this is not good for your health, that does not make a sense to her.
I know.
You know what I mean?
I know.
She has found refuge in that, a smoking thing. And maybe another person has got a friend who's a great liar. But again, I would justify that maybe because I would feel like, okay, that person has got a life that I do not know anything about.
Yeah.
So I myself would say that most of the time I don't try to change anything in people because, as you just said, I would think like they're not going to change because everybody has got a love. But there is this huge blank point in here.
Yeah.
Left for you as a friend, as family member, as, I don't know, whoever that is close to that person. With kindness, you can change even the stones. When you read too much of songs for, I don't know, a tree, that tree is going to grow more beautifully.
Yeah.
These things are going to have some effects.
You know, they have their own effects, especially I had this argument with my friend last night, mm-hmm. you know, and she was like, okay, I know you have good intention, I know you are kind, but it's enough.
But stop that.
Yeah, exactly. Stop it. I know you're
I'm
good
so
intention,
fed but up with whatever yeah, you're telling
yeah, yeah,
me.
Yeah, exactly.
You're because good. We usually hear these things.
Yeah. You know, you have to stop being like a cliche. I think using different methods, mm-hmm. like especially comedy, in my opinion. Yeah. Using comedy to express your feelings, your emotions, your beliefs especially can be really yeah. effective.
And you know here. Those people who use too much of comedy are the saddest people in the world.
Yeah, I know that. You know, even we have these documentaries that they commit suicide and yeah. so on. And it's so dark for me. Yeah. And because of that, somehow I have a strange feeling towards them. I cannot laugh with comedians.
Yeah.
Hmm. I
of course, most of them are just like that, but black comedy is just sad.
And so beautiful. And I think you need to be so intelligent to use this method.
We can use comedy also to have effects yeah, exactly. on our friends.
And not only these ways, but for example, you can send her, I don't know, a beautiful song. Even these are some indirect methods
yeah.
that I appreciate.
Yeah.
And I think they are more effective than, mm-hmm. I don't know, going there and tell her what to do and what not to do.
Still, I guess there are some more of ways for us to
yeah.
change the people around us. We all have impacts on each other. We work like dominoes, you know? Mm-hmm. We have effects on each other. But just as we said, there are some other factors as well.
Mm-hmm.
But before we get into that, I guess, is your favorite part.
Yeah, the break. I know, it's not my favorite time. But let's go for a short break.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Youth Station.
I'm all ear for your factors. Welcome, dear listeners. This is Youth Station.
Yeah, we're still here. And we're talking about...
factors.
Yeah, you the know, factors to
tell
change.
Tell me your factors.
To change the people around yeah. us, the people we call them our friends. We all have been through that. Tell you something, when you grow older,
mm-hmm.
the people are going to be more hypocritic. I mean, if yeah. your friend right now is just smoking in front of you, when she grows older, maybe she's not going to show that to you.
Yeah.
You know? So the older you get, it is more difficult to change you.
Because you hide your true self.
Because you wear too much of masks.
Yeah.
But anyway, if there is any problem, we said that maybe with kindness, maybe with love that we share with them, we still can change the attitude of that person or the kind of actions they're taking in their life. And you believe with that, right? Have you done yeah. that with anyone? I mean, has ever your love worked in someone in a way that they could change?
You know, I'm not sure about that, mm-hmm. but I think yes. You know,
at least as an impact, I guess, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I don't try to talk to other people because I'm not a good talker myself. Mm-hmm. When I'm in a relation with, I don't know, other people.
Yeah. The story of introverts,
so
you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Guys, you know the introverts.
I'm an introvert person, so I cannot talk easily. But I cannot act. I can act easily. you know, the way I behave.
Oh, so you mean you teach them with your practice?
Yeah, exactly, in a practical way. And I think we have a beautiful story in this area that, I don't know, two of us are Ahlul Bayt, mm-hmm. was trying to tell one person who was actually making one of the actions wrong. They were trying to tell him, you are doing this wrong. And instead of just going there and tell him that you are doing this wrongly, they just
started practicing that
in a correct way. Mm-hmm. This is so beautiful.
Yeah, so beautiful. Yeah.
You know, and I think I had the same impact on my friends. Like, I was myself always, you know. Mm-hmm. I wasn't like, I want to lie about whatever I have or whatever I don't have. And at first, they were like, okay, you're so frank and it bothers us. But after a long time, they just come to their senses and they just accept themselves. It was beautiful
this
for me.
This process of acceptance is something really difficult for people. You know?
And it takes time.
It takes a long time. I wanted to say that as well. Yeah. You know, sometimes your kindness is not enough. You have to give them too much of time. And sometimes you have just to say bye to them.
I do agree.
Because in the process of changing that person, you are not infallible. You might also get into a trap and then you change yourself as well.
Yeah.
You know, it's easier to change into the wrong way instead of changing into the good way. So you just have to scale everything to see how does it work. Is it going to be more beneficial or is it going to be...
I don't like the word beneficial. I don't know why, but it feels like inhuman to me.
No, beneficial as in fruitful.
I know, I know what you mean.
Beneficial as in it's going to have some benefits for the person you love.
Yeah.
You know, because you wish all the blessings for those that are dear for you. Therefore, you just want them to benefit from their life.
You know, I have a teacher that always tells us that your body puts a lot of effort to make energy for you.
Mm-hmm.
And these ATPs are so important. So just
don't waste them.
This is the same story. Yeah. This is the same story about our lives. If you think you're wasting your time on a person, on a group of people who wouldn't change, just quit, give up on them.
Yeah. And yeah, just give up on them.
It may be difficult. It may be cruel. But after a long time, when you came to your senses and you think logically, you will understand that you did the right thing, you know?
Exactly, yeah. Because after all, we're human beings. We cannot change everything.
Yeah.
Some things are not meant to be changed with us.
And even we're not supposed to do that.
Yeah.
These differences
are needed. We're not always supposed to do that because sometimes... you know, the world is going to teach us everything by time.
Yeah, and there is no absolute thing, you know,
exactly,
here.
Yeah.
There is no obligation here.
But of course, we have responsibilities
towards
each other.
We have responsibility to mention
but
these
But we already talked
things.
About it,
yeah.
About the situations, about the things that might be in the background.
The factors,
the things that are at work, and the scaling thing.
Yeah,
you know?
I know.
Just see what is more important. We have to think about that
much. And we have these beautiful words. We showed you the right way. You are the one
who decides.
And
yeah, which
who decides.
One to pick.
Yeah, exactly. So we have to be good decision makers.
Mm. And something just before we say bye. Encounter yourself with good people. Because that has got a vibe that is going to have so much of impact on you. Do not be surrounded with people who are so dark, gloomy,
depressed,
with so much of spots, you know. They have a spotty record. Don't be surrounded with these people. With the much of pity I share with these people, I have to say that they must be excluded from your environment because then... Unfortunately, there is a big chance for you to turn just like one of them.
And I have to mention that I'm so lucky that I'm here with you and
oh
dear listeners.
I take that as a compliment.
No, it wasn't a compliment. It was reality. So it was all the time we had. So I bid you farewell. I leave you in the warm embrace of Allah. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you.
insight. Welcome to Insight. On this episode, we will be discussing Yemen and the new global order with member of Yemen's political council, Dr. Abdulrahman Al-Mukhtar. But first, this brief analysis.
The U.S. war against Yemen has shifted to what can be described as the Emirati phase for some time now, after the humiliating defeat of the House of Saud and the Saudi-backed forces in this conflict. For years, the Saudis committed the worst war crimes and crimes against humanity in Yemen with total impunity, only to be humiliated in time by the barefoot armies, drones, and missiles of the Yemeni people, exposing to the world the shaky structure of the Saudi tribal state hiding behind a flashy facade, and America's reluctance to defend Saudi Arabia as the U.S. had been falsely promising it would for decades in return for Saudi geostrategic compliance. The old plan to divide the ancient nation and ancient civilization of Yemen is in full swing, this time with the Emiratis as the facade, in an effort to separate the port city of Aden and the strategic island of Socotra from the Yemeni motherland in order to turn them into U.S. and Israeli outposts on the Bab el-Mandab Straits, controlling the entry and exit between the Indian Ocean and the Red Sea. The Yemeni people have shown their extreme courage and steadfastness over the centuries, a reality famously attested to by none other than Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. And this reality will win out over any plans hatched by the most recent foreign invaders. The ancient nation and civilization of Yemen will eventually ingest the peripheral tribes and mercenary forces that attempt to conquer it, and as the cradle of civilization on the Arabian Peninsula will rise from the ashes of this war and retake its prominent place among the ancient nations of this region.
Dr. Al-Mukhtar, thank you so much for joining us on Insight. You are a member of the Shura Council. You are the former Minister for Legal Affairs. You are in Tehran now for a conference on Yemen, so this is a very good opportunity for us to have a conversation with you about Yemen. Unfortunately, we see that in the Western media, the issue is now kind of not being talked about, but the problems and the crimes that are going on there still exist. So this is a good time for us to maybe do a little review, look at the timeline of the events that have happened in Yemen over the last years, and also to begin our conversation, with your permission, talk a little bit about the legal aspects of this conflict as it relates to international law. I remember seeing at the time that you were the minister, where you were talking about how these are clear crimes against humanity, these are clear war crimes. Of course, we know that the West will never allow these crimes to be prosecuted in the current system as it relates to the UN. But nevertheless, it's important that we talk about the legal aspects of these war crimes and these crimes against humanity. So if you could please, to begin our conversation, give us a little insight first about the timeline of events that have happened in Yemen, and then also after that, if you could please tell us a little bit about the legal aspects as it relates to war crimes and crimes against humanity.
In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful. Allah bless Muhammad and the family of Muhammad. Thank you very much, Press TV, and thank you also to your colleagues for providing this opportunity for me to speak about this very important issue regarding the Yemeni people. At the beginning, I would like to speak about the various stages of this aggression. I mean here the Saudi and Emirati aggression against our country. First, there was the intervention by the Saudis in the domestic affairs of Yemen that started in the last century and on the outset of the current century. Saudis used to interfere in Yemen's internal affairs. The second stage began in the second decade of the current century, after the emergence of the so-called Arab Spring. For this reason, they started intervening in our domestic affairs. Later, the GCC States initiative came, which was a clear breach of our constitution, that states the right of our people to elect their president through direct